glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, August 29th, 2024. I'm your friend Donna Leland, and today I want to introduce you to Dave Smith, Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute. Welcome, Dave, to Mark and Friends.
Thank you so much, Donna. I am so glad to be on your program today.
Can you tell us exactly what does your organization focus in on?
Absolutely. Our mission is to bring a biblical perspective to public policy. And how we do that here in the state of Illinois is we work, number one, our first line of battle, if you will, front in the battle, is to work in Springfield with our state lawmakers, trying to promote pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-religious liberty, parental rights, those kind of things in Springfield. Now, we do some in Washington, D.C., too, but our primary focus is in Springfield. The second line of battle, or front, is to educate the body of Christ, educate, equip, and then activate the body of Christ in Illinois on those same issues that we're fighting in Springfield.
I have to admit, Dave, sometimes it just feels overwhelming when I look at our culture and what they're accepting and what they're promoting. I mean, as a believer, it can become disheartening.
It can. In over 30 years, those waves of discouragement have come for me, my staff, but we have to remember the Apostle Paul's exhortation to us, do not grow weary in doing good. And then we have Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who has personally reminded me, we're not called to victory, we are called to faithfulness. And so if we have our mind on our eyes on the prize and are faithful, then we won't sink, you know, and get discouraged or anxious by the storm clouds and the winds and the waves.
Now, we are seeing some progress. I guess just recently, there was someone who had been working at an abortion facility, and they have turned away from that. Tell us that positive story.
That is phenomenal. I've also heard of Planned Parenthood facilities who have shut down in blue states because they can't find people to work it. So praise God, prayer is working, and the message is getting out.
Our focus today, Dave, the reason I brought you on, is that the Illinois Family Institute is getting excited about a prayer initiative that you would love to launch at the end of September. Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, a little background. A gentleman in my church came up to me and said, Dave, we need to have a statewide prayer thing. You know, our culture is really in trouble. Things are getting worse. We need to pray. And I said, well, I don't disagree with you. But as I thought about that, you know, we couldn't have one prayer meeting for this big state of Illinois where it takes you literally 6 hours to drive from the bottom to the top. You know, it's a big state. So what if we called for churches to hold their own prayer gatherings, and then just invite neighborhood Christians from the community to come in and join together, unite in prayer for this purpose. And as we thought about and talked about it with I have pastors on my board of directors and my staff who are good Christian people, we decided, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us or gives us kind of a template, if you will, of how to do this. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God tells Israel, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So there's four things we need to do. We need to, number one, humble. We need to pray. We need to seek. And we need to turn. Those four things, humble, pray, seek, and turn. And then maybe God would be gracious enough to forgive us And I think he wants to. Wouldn't you agree, Donna? He wants to forgive us, but he's not going to do it if we are not humbly seeking him in repentance.
That is so true, Dave. Absolutely. He wants babies to be born. He wants children to grow up in families with a loving father and mother. He wants people to understand they were born either male or female. That's his heart. His heart is for not to have people confused about his presence and his glory. And so I think that's a beautiful thing. Now, Dave, if pastors and churches wanted to get on board with this, how do they do that? How do they register?
So first of all, you know, God deals with us corporately and individually. And so we're calling for this corporate day of prayer on either September 25th or 26th. If you have another date in mind, that's fine. If churches want to do another date, that's fine. But 25, 26 is a 40-day period before the November 5th election. And so we thought with that, we could then have a corporate day of prayer and then go home and individually pray with our families and by ourselves and with friends, whatever. And maybe even fast during that 40-week period. But we're encouraging people to visit this website. It's humilityandprayerillinois.com. I'm going to say it one more time. humilityandprayerillinois.com. And at that website, you will be able to read a little background. There's some links where you can get more information. And there's a big button that says host an event or find an event. So if you're a church leader and you're going to establish a corporate day of prayer on this, on the 25th or 26th, click the host, fill out the form, and then it'll be published. And if you're a layperson looking for a local church who might be doing this, go to that website, click find an event, and then you should be able to search through that list, either by zip code or county, and you'll find an event near you. Hopefully, that's my prayer, at least. Hopefully, we will have hundreds of churches doing this statewide.
Now, what if a couple just wanted to host a prayer meeting in their home?
They certainly can, you know, host an event.
Wow, you know, we're in a season right now where we need to step up and get our prayers on. And I think this is a great way for people to join corporately. You know, Dave, we've got quite a prayer effort going on here at WLUJ. We're going to do a Take Back the Night with Prayer August 31st. And this is at midnight. I mean, we are calling people to stay up late. And it starts at 12 a.m. and goes till 6 a.m. And that's August 31st. And then also, we've got the Audience of One, a call to praise and worship. This is coming to the Champaign area, the Virginia Theater, and that's September 29th. So along with yours, there's a lot of opportunity to come together and beseech God on behalf of our state and our country.
Maybe the Spirit is convicting a lot of Christians that prayer is missing, and we've got to get back to prayer, you know? And think about this, too. There's the story in the Scripture. I think Jesus tells the story of an unrighteous judge who was being pestered by a widow on a situation. In day after day, she came and made her case, made her appeal, day after day. And finally, the judge relented and said, fine, I give in. You get it. And in that story, Jesus is telling us, please come, come to my throne room, make your appeals, keep coming, wear me down. And of course, we know God's not going to get worn down, but there's the point, right? Come, keep making your appeals. And I think we do a couple prayers and then we give up and say, oh, well, I guess it's never going to happen. You know, but, you know, we don't. We got to keep praying and praying and praying. We can see God's hand move. And even if he doesn't move in the way we want, his purpose is still moving forward. And we can trust he's good and just and holy.
That's right. I mean, the one she was dealing with was an unjust judge, but ours is the judge of all the earth. And will not he do right? And I'm thinking, you know, as I beseech God, I think I'd rather be over praying, you know, and have that be my legacy when I get to heaven, rather than, like you said, just praying a couple, oh God, help prayers. But I just think that constant coming to the Lord, reminding ourselves and reminding him that, yes, we believe he can do this.
And the word prostrate comes to mind, right? Where you're down on your face before a holy God, making your appeals. And Donna, maybe it's my limited, finite mind thinking this, but I have to believe God wants to heal us. He wants to forgive us, but he is not going to force us, forgive us when we're rebelling against him openly. We need to humble ourselves. We need to turn from our wicked ways and pray in all sincerity, God, please forgive us for 60,000 abortions a year in Illinois. Forgive us for going up now because of Roe v. Wade or the new Dobbs decision. 100,000 babies being killed every year in this state. God, please forgive us for the innocent blood that is being spilled. Father, close down more abortion mills. Father, please have them not be able to hire new people. Father, may they go out of business. Lord, we pray this in your name.
Amen, Dave. I agree with you. Wow. You know, just to think that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine and just change the minds of those who are abortion-minded, abortion with intent. I remember, I will be ever grateful for back in 1973 when Roe v. Wade just passed, and my little parochial school, they gathered us all together, and somehow they had gotten a hold of a film, you know, that you had to, you know, thread, and they showed us the whole process of abortion. And I remember sitting there and it just all clicked for me. And I never moved away from that truth. All the way through high school, all the way through college, I knew exactly what it was. And that was intense, but I think they had to do that. They had to let us know this is a real human being. And I don't think we're getting that message today.
No, we're not. And the churches need to really start preaching about the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, knitted in the womb of our mothers from the very moment of conception with our own unique DNA. And that all determines who we're going to be in the future. A library full of information in our own DNA. And that's all created by God Almighty. That's amazing.
You know, Dave, another area of concern is the whole physician-assisted suicide. Do we see that possibly creeping into Illinois?
Yes. Unfortunately, this past legislative session, a bill was introduced in both the Senate and in the House in Springfield that would legalize physician-assisted suicide. At first, we thought we were in trouble because the Democrats are in supermajority control, and they seem to have all the dominoes lined up to be able to pass this into law. However, the first thing that happened, which was a miracle, and I credit this to prayer, is that Christian doctors at the Medical Society in Illinois, which is an 800-pound gorilla that lobbies in Springfield, the Medical Society, they switched their position from neutral on this bill to oppose on this bill. And that was huge. Shortly thereafter, the Chicago Tribune came out and opposed it. Shortly after that, the Chicago Sun-Times came out and opposed it. And all of a sudden, this bill that looked like it was going to be skyrocketing through was dead in the water. So praise God for that. It's now stalled out, and it probably won't come up again until next January, but they'll have to reintroduce it. And again, we'll have to, again, oppose it. We know in Canada and in California, for example, what starts as physician-assisted suicide for the terminally ill will soon open up for those who are simply disabled or depressed, or they're even opening up for teenagers, I think, in Canada now. Teenagers who are depressed. Well, what teenager doesn't suffer from depression every so often? My goodness, these are treatable things for, and now we're opening the door for a permanent out permanent out. And so this again, God is the author of life and death. We have no business interfering in that process. We don't know what he does during a terminally ill period in the hearts and minds of people who are suffering, or in the family, the immediate family that might be helping. You know, I had a friend who was dying of bone cancer, and he 6 months he was so much pain and suffering. But you know, he had two young sons in their 20s who hadn't yet made a profession in Christ. And so he was sticking around because he wanted to be a testimony and just finish strong so he could give them that message over and over and over again. You know, so we don't know how God is going to use it. It certainly drew everybody closer. I don't know if they, you know, became Christians as a result of that. But, you know, I know seeds were planted.
Well, it is a slippery slope, and then they'll start to work on you saying, well, you basically owe it to society to take yourself out.
Oh, you're too much of a cost. You only have, we're projecting you only have 6 months to live, and it's going to cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. That would be better spent on somebody else, you know? That's the way they'll do it. It'll become, you're not worth it. And that's the message I hear loud and clear in the assisted suicide agenda. You're not worth it. And yet we have the opposite message of the gospel, where God Almighty said, you are worth it. I'm sending my son.
I've been looking and poking around your website, the Illinois Family Institute website, and you've got some really good articles, and you must have some excellent writers and others that are sharing. I have a friend of mine, Monty Larrick, who I actually worked with up in Chicago, and now he does work for you, and he puts together a great podcast. It's called Spotlight, that keeps us updated on everything that's going on. Tell us a little bit about the highlights at your website, Dave.
Sure. So illinoisfamily.org. We have, you know, articles, at least a fresh article every day of the week, except for Sunday. Sunday is family day, or, you know, day of worship. But we have, you know, we cover all the categories from education to religious liberty to gambling to even Islam and Sharia, because that's a growing concern in our culture, drugs, alcohol, and addictions. We have, you know, obviously sanctity of life, which is very the top concern, I suppose, because without the right to life, every other right is moot, right? And of course, sexuality, which is unfortunately, you know, a major issue in our government schools and in our culture, in our media, is in there all the time. And so we want to help Christians think through things biblically. And so we will highlight things and we will write about them to help you get a better handle on how Christians should think on this biblically. And we even have worldview conferences every year. Last year, we had Nancy Piercy as our worldview speaker. Next year, we're going to have Brad Wilcox, who is a colleague of hers, who just wrote a book called Get Married, Have Children. And it's, of course, a response to this our culture, who is growing up, not interested in marriage, not interested in having children. This is the antithesis of our God, who says, I love children, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And the apostles of wokeism say, no, we need to counter that. We need the exact opposite.
You've got an event coming up with Allie Beth Stuckey. My daughter's very excited about it. She actually went to Florida to see Allie Beth. Tell us about your event that's coming up.
Millennials and Generation Z just love Allie Beth Stuckey. She's a millennial woman herself, a mother, well, a wife and a mother, solid Christian, and she does a lot of good interviews on her podcast. Some of them are quite long, and she actually interviewed Nancy Pierce. She has interviewed Megan Bashan recently, and this week I was watching her interview with Seth Gruber of the White Rose Campaign, which just amazing, which is a pro-life organization and movement. And anyway, she's going to be our keynote speaker. Allie Beth Stuckey is going to be our keynote speaker on September 6th in Tinley Park. And tickets are still available. So we'd love to have you come and join us for a good night of faith, family, and fellowship.
We're talking with Dave Smith today on Mark and Friends of the Illinois Family Institute. Any closing remarks for us, Dave? Any other words that would encourage our hearts?
The one remark I would have is an encouragement to parents and grandparents and church leaders. We need to be very intentional to practice Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6, and that is to train up our children in the admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 says, "You will teach them these things I command to you." Well, what did he just command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You will teach these things to your children as you get up, as you walk by the way, as you go to work, as you sit down for a meal, and when you lay down for night. I mean, in other words, all day long. You're going to be teaching these things. And so I think we need to do that because the days are evil. And if we redeem the time, as Scripture says, and teach our children these things and grandchildren, I just became a grandfather this year. I'll tell you, we need to teach these things to our children because we don't want them falling into the devil's snares, right, and traps. And there's going to be more and more of these traps in our society, and we want them to be aware of these traps and to avoid them whenever they can. And they can only do that if they are biblically literate and know the Word of God.
We're talking with Dave Smith of the Illinois Family Institute on Mark and Friends. Thank you so much, Dave, for stopping by. And you are going to be a reoccurring guest. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity. It was a blessing.
And thank you, dear listening friend, for being a part of Mark and Friends. If you'd like any more information about the Illinois Family Institute, join them online, theillinoisfamilyinstitute.org. Also, don't forget that Allie Beth Stuckey is going to be their featured speaker coming up the 1st of September, and their prayer initiative. If you'd like to join that, it's humilityandprayerillinois.com. Thanks so much for being a part of Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Tune in tomorrow. Mark and Pastor Jason sits down with others at the Bible study, and they're making their way through the book of Nehemiah on Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media.